So I didn't want a whole week to go by without any Divrei Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, especially Parshas Yisro, Kabbalah Satorah. So let's try to share one or two ideas from Parshas Yisro. Vayishma Yisro. The Yisro's arrival, Moshe's accepting him, the advice that he gave, and his departure are related in this parak, which immediately comes before Matan Torah. The war with Amalek is also immediately before Matan Torah. Why are these two incidents, the war with Amalek and Yisro, right before Matan Torah? Yisro was non-Jew. He was the Archbishop of Midian. He came to the Jewish camp with an open mind. He wanted to observe for himself what the Jews had accomplished and were about to engage in. He was so overwhelmed by their conduct that he renounced paganism and embraced Judaism. Chazal did not describe Yisro as a righteous Gentile. Rather, he was portrayed as a decent person whose positive reaction should have been emulated by other non-Jews who witnessed the exhibition of Matan Torah. This incident illustrates one possible reaction of a guy to Jews in Matan Torah. The Amalekim were also impressed with the Jews, but their reaction differed strongly from that of Yisro. They believed that a nation which could defy Egypt and Paro, gain freedom from Paro, and defeat the Egyptian regime while having different laws from those which prevailed all over the world, should be exterminated. Amalek came and attacked the Jews. The Jews had not threatened Amalek in any way, yet Amalek attacked them anyway. This was their reaction to Matan Torah. In the Torah, the presentation of the first set of luchos given to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai was accompanied by tremendous fanfare. In the words of the shofar section of Rosh Hashanah, "Bekolos of Rakim Niglesa Aleim, Uvekol HaShofar Hufat Aleim." Hashem wanted the world to know that the Jews had received the Aseret HaDibros and that the Aseret HaDibros contained a new moral code, a new outlook, a new set of laws. It was not necessary for them to accept this code. It was, however, crucial that they be aware of it. Why was this awareness among the Goyim necessary? The purpose of the public spectacle of Matan Torah was so Hashem could eventually convert the entire universe to become the residence of Hashem. All will accept the reign of Hashem. The time will come when the whole world must realize that the luchos given to the Jews contain the truth, and it is worthwhile to accept them, just as the Jews accepted them so many years ago. The purpose of Matan Torah was not for the individuals, but to convert the entire universe into a divine residence. The Torah is offered to everybody and must eventually be accepted by everybody. This offer was extended to every human being, yet the Jews were the only nation who took advantage of the offer. The Jews were sensitive, understanding the exaltedness and beauty of a life which is lived in compliance with the laws of the Torah. No other nation understood this concept. Still, Hashem exposed all of humankind to this event to allow them the opportunity to access it. Will humankind eventually accept this reality and ultimately realize the greatness of a Torah lifestyle? The Torah answers yes, and offers the Torah of Yisro as proof. In the eschatological era, in the time of Mashiach, this same event will occur on a universal scale. The Torah, however, also wants us to know that there are certain people who will never be converted. They understand that the Jew represents something unique, but their response to that realization is one of malice, vicious hate, and a desire to destroy. Amalek was the incarnation of evil and regarded Matan Torah in a completely different manner. He attacked us without provocation for no reason. Other than that, we were a unique and separate entity. Amalek and their descendants will continue to react this way throughout history. The non-Jews react to Jews in one of two ways, either as Yisro or as Amalek, and we must be prepared for both reactions. So said Rav Soloveitchik, Vayishma Yisro, right? Chazal say, what did he hear? Did he hear Milchemes Amalek, or did he hear about Matan Torah? Yisro heard about the Jews and appreciated them, and Amalek heard about the Jews and did not appreciate them. And we have to realize that there are always going to be non-Jews who do appreciate us, and always going to be those who don't appreciate us. Now, I want to share with you another idea from Rav Soloveitchik. That's, I don't believe Dr. Lustiger printed it in this edition, but I once heard it from a Chabad rabbi in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Chabad rabbi, I believe, in West Palm Beach in Florida, once said this word. Rashi quotes right before the Aseret HaDibros on the word Lemor. Vaydaber Elokim Eskol Vrom Eila Lemor. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, this teaches us, Malami, that the Klal Yisrael said, Al Hain Hain Va'alav Lav. On the positive commandments of the Aseret HaDibros, they said yes, and on the negative commandments, they said no. And this rabbi said, in the name of Soloveitchik, if you look in the Medrash, it's a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether or not they said, Al Hain Hain Alav Lav, I think that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva said, they said, Al Hain Hain Va'alav Hain. That on the yeses, they said yes, and on the don'ts, they said yes. But the other opinion says, no, Al Hain Hain Va'alav Lav. To the yeses, they said yes, and to the don'ts, they said, no, we won't do it. And the question is, what exactly is this machlokas? Whether they said al-hain, hain, al-lav, lav, or al-hain, hain, and al-lav, hain? Was it said yes, yes, yes to the do's and the don'ts, or they said yes to the do's and we won't to the don'ts? What's the difference? So Salvation has said a beautiful, beautiful idea. You would think that it makes a lot more sense that al hain hain va lav lav. That's the one opinion. When someone's telling you to do something, you say, yes, I'll do it. When someone says, don't do something, you say, okay, no, I won't do it. But so what in the world is the pshat in the other opinion that they said al hain hain va lav hain? It just means that Klal Yisrael had one basic fundamental reaction at Har Sinai. Hashem, whatever you say, we are all in. That's what Mamad Har Sinai was about. We don't care if it's a lav. We don't care if it's a hain. For us, everything's a hain. It's just yes. We give you one big yes. On the no's, we say yes. On the yes's, we say yes. We're all in. This is what happened at Har Sinai. We were all in. And we have to realize, even if there's certain times where we don't understand something or we find something difficult to do, we are yes Jews. We are alav hain, val hain hain. If Hashem says do, we do. If Hashem says don't do, so we also say whatever you want, Hashem will do. It's just this overarching commitment to say alav hain, val hain hain. It's yes to whatever you say. And one final idea on the pasuk of Vayecharad kol am Hashem b'machana, the entire nation was trembling when they had the kolos of rakim, the thunder and lightning. The Gemara in Brachos states, just as at Har Sinai there was fear, aim of a year of bereses of Isaiah, fear and hum and awe, trembling and fear. So too, when we all learn Torah, it must be done with dread and awe, trembling and fear. The purpose of reading the Torah out loud in the shul is not solely to teach the congregation, but also to arrange an encounter with Hashem, as experienced by our ancestors at Har Sinai. Every act of reading from the Torah is a new giving of the Torah, a revival of the wondrous stand at the foot of the flaming mountain. The reading of the Torah is a staging of the giving of the Torah and a renewal of the awesome, sublime experience. The revelation experience is reenacted whenever the Torah scroll is removed from the Aron for reading in the shul. The reading of the Torah thus contains an element of revelation of the Shechina. Whenever or wherever man feels the presence of Hashem, he is obligated to sanctify Hashem's name and praise Him. The pasuk in Divrei Hayom says, "Then all the trees, Aziranu Kalatzei Yar Lefnei Hashem Kivah Lishbodes Aretz." This is why the person who is called up to the Torah makes a bracha. Says Baruch Hu Hashem Hamivorach before he makes the bracha because he's blessing Hashem's presence. The Maharami Rutenberg said you have to stand during Torah reading is based on this principle. If the public reading of the Torah were merely an educational activity, there would be no need to stand. Standing is an outcome of the recreating Mamad Har Sinai. Another corollary of this principle is the custom when they read the Aseret HaDibros, they read the Tam HaElyon, which combines all the verses, all the psukim, into one of each commandment into one pasuk, in contrast to the Tam Tachton, which organized them by individual psukim. Through this practice, we are imitating the way Hashem Himself uttered the commandments. When He made the commandment heard, the only unit was the whole commandment. The unit of the individual earth had no place. This is in contrast to the way we study, for when we learn Torah, it's divided into psukim. So that's why on Shavuos we read with the Tam HaElyon, because we're recreating Mamad Har Sinai. We will stop here. I'm sorry, I don't have more time.